The conversation of your life, local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
Well, I ventured into the store yesterday just to have a look, and the lines, I mean, really, people. You're waiting in those long lines with cartloads of food, stocking up. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, you should have done that weeks ago, like we did. Anyhow, the cashier, you know, I'm in there about three, four weeks ago stocking up, getting the pantry full. And the cashier looked at us and says, you know, you're the third person stocking up today. Stocking up for an emergency, right? And I said, yes. Well, have you seen the markets this morning? I'm getting reports as I drove by our local market on the way down here. I looked and I took a double take. I thought there were people lined up outside the market before opening. And then a friend of mine just sent me a message over social media, actually posted to social media and says, hi, I went down to the market. It was supposed to open at 5 a.m. Here it is 6:30. There's a line of people here and the store's not open. Another guy said, well, when I got in, finally, there's no food left. There's been a run on the stores. And I got, I'm standing there in this line. I'm all stocked up. But I had a craving for Lucky Charms cereal. And so I went down. I didn't need the milk. I had the milk already. So I go down and I just get one box of Lucky Charms. And here I am standing in line at the market with this box of Lucky Charms. Everybody else has got cartloads of stuff. And I got the one thing my wife wanted me to get. I can't remember what it was. I can never remember what she wants when I get there. And I can't remember what it was now. But I had two items in my hand. And I'm just looking around and, I've seen this one guy who's got this shopping cart full of toilet paper. And I'm going, I can't figure that one out. I cannot figure out how toilet paper is the number one essential that you need. But it's apparently this guy figured out you need something else. So he had some canned food. And he had three cases of chili con carne. And I'm going, okay, well, I guess I know what you need the toilet paper for. I'm imagining this conversation. Honey, I hear there's people going down to the store and getting some food. And, well, you know what, maybe you better go down there and get us some food so we got something for an emergency. So this guy goes down there and she says, oh, by the way, don't forget to get some toilet paper. If they have any, get it. Get all you can get. So he gets his maximum limit of toilet paper. And then he says, well, so you got to get some food. So he goes and grabs three cases of chili con carne. I can imagine the conversation when he gets home. Chili con carne? That's all you got was chili con carne? Oh, my goodness. This one is getting out of hand. Don't look now, but there's something funny going on at the grocery store. This one is not as bleak as it looks. That's the line in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. If you want to figure out what's going on with this one, that's about a financial crash. That may be coming. But It's a Wonderful Life is a great instructional movie, especially the scene about panic. Just go put in It's a Wonderful Life, run on the bank on your YouTube, and go watch the first few minutes of that video. And it's going to let you know everything that's going on. It all comes out okay in the end. Anyhow, I guess I should let you know at this point that this is Russ Betts here on the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio, coming to you from beautiful downtown Palm Springs. And I'm here with my able co-host, Joe McKee. Joe, welcome back to the Russ Betts Show.
Glad we're not panicking.
Yeah, we're not panicking, right? You know, they issued an instruction that you and I are supposed to sit 6 feet apart here in the studio as one of the precautionary measures being used at the studio.
Well, we're actually pretty close to that.
Yeah, but we rode down here together in a car, and my car isn't 6 feet wide. I guess if I had a Hummer, maybe we would have met that.
Not even that.
Anyhow, it's wild out there. You know, we probably, just a little programming alert, we got material prepared for the show, as we always do. And I got a little small stack here of something else. And then I got a big stack here of coronavirus, with COVID-19, which pick whatever you want to call it. It seems to be intermittent. They wanted us to call
What's going on?
Yeah. And, as I'm sitting here looking at what's going on and trying to track this, it's like this rabbit hole. You just go down one after another with everything going on. And it's a long list. You read the headlines, just the headlines. We're going to call it COVID-19. That's easier than saying coronavirus. That must be why they changed the name.
I think Corona Beer had something to say about that.
Or the city of Corona. You know, I talked to the council member in the city of Corona, and he said TMZ wanted to do an interview with him saying, well, what do you think about this thing being named after your city? And he refused that interview. He says, I'm not going to add to that one. So he says, go away, go away. And, you know, talk about the media taking some heat. I'm looking at another post here. This is video that was posted that said, guy cusses out reporter covering people panic buying. And he says, F you, it's your fault. You know, it's like she wants to interview him. This guy just goes off on her saying, you guys have hyped this thing to no end. Is this thing hyped?
I think that there's reaction. I mean, we're in a position that people are affected psychologically by this stuff in strange ways. I mean, you see the same thing everywhere when something happens like a snowstorm. You know, you'll have people doing panic buying even during that. It's just the nature of things for people to get into a position that they want to make sure that nothing bad's going to happen to them.
You know, I heard that.
The problem with it, though, is this. That guy that bought cases of chili con carne is going to have those cases in his cupboard for the rest of his life.
Well, what I figure is everybody's going to look at the expiration date, and right before the expiration date, the food banks are going to have a huge
influx of chili con carne
and everything else. You know, well, we went and looked when we stocked up. We about 4 weeks ago, my daughter and my wife say, you know, the pantry's empty. Why don't we just go get something? So we, you know, if it was we had a cart full, two cart fulls. We bought a lot. But I went and I looked at all the expiration dates, and it's amazing. If you never look at the expiration dates on cans, some stuff lasts till maybe December 2020, just a few months.
Yeah.
And some stuff lasts till 2022.
And those are best before dates. Those are not, you should throw it away when you hit that date. You have to use some common sense. If the can isn't bulging or has something that looks like it's wrong with it, it's probably okay. I mean, I look on the internet at this one weird thing where this guy buys rations from the 1940s to look at see what people had when they were at war during the World War II, things like that. And there's still stuff even from that period of time that's probably edible. There's a lot of stuff that isn't, that's rusted and bulging and everything else. But you have to keep in mind that if you look at most sell-by dates, it says something like best before.
Yeah.
It does not say throw away at this date.
Well, anyhow, I think at this point it doesn't matter. People are in this panic buying mode. The store shelves are empty. And, you know, you watched how this thing progressed. The first thing was the masks. And what you had is opportunists going down there. I went down to Lowe's and Home Depot, because we have a hair salon and we need these masks. So I'm going to go get some, make sure that we got some, right? So we get down to Lowe's, and the guy says, we had 10,000 masks come in yesterday.
And they're gone.
And they're all gone in 2 hours. Some guy had pre-ordered online 3,000 of them, came in, paid for them, and took them. And I said, well, I know what's going to happen there. Those masks that he's paying, you know, $2 each for are going on sale for $10 each. And this
on
guy's
going to
make. Yeah, well, Amazon too. And they cut it off. Amazon and eBay cut off those type of sales. So here's a guy.
And that's good.
There's a news article about a guy complaining he's got a garage full of supplies he can't sell.
There's an interesting one from Australia. I don't know whether you saw that. And a woman theoretically wanted to order 48 rolls of toilet paper. And instead got 48 cases of 48. I don't understand how that could happen, because the cost of the 48 cases was something like $3,000 or something like that.
She had an unlimited line on her credit card, I guess.
Well, you would think you would look at that and think, well, 48 rolls of toilet paper shouldn't cost $3,000. So there was definitely a screw-up, but people are not thinking rationally right now.
I'm going to tell you, that's not so easy. That's not so hard to understand. You know, they have this thing where you go to the self-checkout and it says, how many bags do you want?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to put in a number. And so I'm thinking they're just asking me for my PIN code.
Yeah.
So I ordered 4,623 bags at 10 cents a bag and had this huge chart.
Where's your credit card again?
Huh? I didn't give you the real number.
I was trying to get you to say that so that people wouldn't be hitting you over the head for your credit card.
Anyhow, thank you. But what a process that was on the return. I had to actually go and get a return on that. So they've changed that screen now. So, you know, maybe it's reasonable that somebody thought they were getting 48 and Where I know when I buy stuff in bulk for the company, if I'm going to like a company like Uline,
yeah.
When you say one unit, it's one unit of 24.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But, you know, you look at these headlines. Why most of us can't get tested for COVID-19. Coronavirus testing is starting to get better. Why can't I get tested? And then you get all these people here having, that's what it seems to be. The big news was this. You do a search for coronavirus or COVID-19, and you get all these headlines come up. And, you know, it wasn't long ago that the only thing we were talking about was impeachment. I mean, I made fun of it. I would go here to the news feed we get. In effect, I'm looking at it now, and it's all COVID-19, COVID-19. But 3 weeks ago,
just
everything
wait.
On this screen was impeachment.
Just wait.
Wait for what?
It'll change soon again.
Well, you know, let's hope it gets back to normal. I see the casinos in Macau that closed are now opening back up. And they said they've had any new cases, so they're going to open back up. And then, you know, they're ahead of us on this curve. And I know there's some people are saying, and it's probably true, this thing is going to rebound and come back because historically that's what happened.
That's the big issue. How long do you have to have everything turned off, so to speak, before it's going to really die totally?
Yeah, well, I would like to. We'll get into that into some depth because I know you got some great, you know, you've done a lot of research on that one. For the here and the now, they are opening up their casinos. They've been through it. Everything was shut down. And now here we are on this side of the track, and it was the new hotspot being Europe and the U.S. and China kind of waning a little bit. And then our casinos now are announced. San Manuel Casino just announced they're closing their casino
and
for 30 days.
And so did Pechanga.
And Pechanga?
Yeah, there are a couple. Yeah,
okay.
There are a couple that are.
So when does that hit here? And then the other question is, you know, I'm a city council member in the city of Desert Hot Springs for new listeners who don't know. And so you get all kinds of calls from people. And it's amazing the calls you get as a council member. And one of them, a guy calls and says, hey, do you know where I can find any work? And, you know, I can ask around just like anybody else can. Yeah. I think they're calling as a council member thinking that I can help them find some work. So I said, I don't know, I'll look. But he was working at the tennis garden, and he had 2 weeks worth of work lined up at the tennis garden, which would have been long hours, good money, and, you know, he was counting on that.
Yeah.
And he says, all of a sudden, now I don't have that work. Well, you know, boom, he got hit with that. And then all of a sudden he's getting hit with, well, Coachella's, you're not going to have Coachella work. You're not going to have Stagecoach work. And then add to all that, especially in a city like Desert Hot Springs, where, well, you know, when you go down to any of the venues, if you go to a hotel or anything else, Desert Hot Springs is the working class in the valley mostly. And you go down there and you recognize people in your city, and there they are. Now they're going, all those service venues are shutting down. What's going to happen to this?
Or reducing in the number of people going there. If you're in the restaurant business or anything that's serving people right now, there are questions as to how you're going to keep people working, if you're going to keep them working.
I think if everybody gets locked down like they're doing in France and Italy and Spain, we'll get into that too. But everything's locked down in those countries. You're not going into work. You're just sitting at home. All right, this is the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio. I'm here with Joe McKee. If you haven't figured out by now, this is going to be one show long on COVID-19. We're going to bring you some details, and we'll cover some other stuff. We do have other news here, but here, we're with you till 4 o'clock. No. 4. What time are we here till?
10.
All right, 10. We're here till 10 a.m. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio.
The conversation of your life. Local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub Radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
All right, programming note. We are not here until 4 p.m. It might feel like it with all this information we've got for you. We're in information overload. That's what's going on here. But, you know, there's so much information coming at us. I'm looking at the internet during the break, and I guess, well, now you're even getting what your zodiac sign is telling you. You know, you're for. So, Joe, what
That's
sign?
Helpful.
What sign are you, Joe? I got this. This is very informational. What sign are you?
Taurus.
You're a Taurus. So let's see what it says here. It says, be safe and take measures, but no need to panic. Let's go down to Virgo and see what I am. Hey, it says the same thing. Be safe and take measures. No need to panic. You must have run out of options. Some of this, if you're Cancer, it is required to remain more careful. And so you might need to worry. But then Leo, no need to worry too much. So, you know, it's if you into the horoscope and take stock in that. So I guess the people who are Virgos and what were you?
Taurus,
you don't need to go stock up. Everything's okay. Make a few plans, but everything's going to be okay. Well, if you're some of these other signs, watch out.
We talked a little bit about information now. It's all over the board as far as I'm concerned. An example I had was I was on the internet and doing some research for today, and there was an article on that said Johns Hopkins professor says 500,000 people infected. When you went into the article itself, what it said was 50,000 to 500,000. So there was a massive difference between what he was really saying, meaning we don't really know. There could be a really wide margin of error in this. And in these situations, almost everyone yields toward the high end because they don't want later, especially if you're a politician. If you say something is going to be this and it comes in less than that, you're generally not going to get beat up too badly. But if it comes in more, you become a pariah in a lot of ways. So there's a tendency in the news media, a tendency with politicians to push the envelope higher than it probably will be.
Oh, they've got internet sites completely dedicated now to tracking this. And the big one is BNO News Service. And they're providing the most extensive...
The CDC also has stuff. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, BNO is ahead of the information of the CDC. People are going to get updates from the CDC to get the number of cases, and they're lagging behind every other reporting.
I understand that, but the reason the CDC is lagging is because they're confirming everything, too.
I guess. Well, you know, I don't know. Does BNO not confirming everything?
I don't know.
Okay.
But
there could be another reason CDC is lagging. It's because the employees are on vacation. It's a weekend.
Or sick.
Yeah. Who knows? So anyhow, what we do know is on January 19th, there was 100 cases reported.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, obviously. January 28th, that jumped to 5,000. By February 12th, it was 50,000 cases. In March 6th, it was 100,000. And now they're telling us on March 14th, it's 150,000 cases. But I have a feeling we're way over that now.
I think that's a good bet since we haven't been testing very much.
Yeah, well, I tell you, there's so many things you could talk about in depth. You just want to jump to them all instantly because it's just so overwhelming what's going on with this stuff. The testing, the test kits. I got people who said they want to go and get tested.
That aren't even sick.
Well, no, they've had a cough and a fever.
Oh, okay.
and felt dizzy, and they either had a really bad cold and flu,
mm-hmm.
or they had COVID-19, and they wanted to go find out. I think there's a lot of people in that situation.
And they're basically the situation is you need to talk to your medical provider and explain what's going on, what your symptoms are, and they will tell you whether you should stay home or go to a hospital.
Well, they weren't following that advice. They went to the urgent care.
Uh-huh.
And when they get to the urgent care, they said, hi, I think I got these symptoms. I want to be tested.
Uh-huh.
And they said, sorry, we can't test you. And he says, well, it says right here on the wall, you're going to give me urgent care immediately. He says, and he starts to explain to him, well,
they
could be contagious. And here you are. Here I am talking to this guard and you. And so they promptly went over and got him a mask and told him to wear it.
There was a headline in the Sun, I think, today about the fact that Eisenhower was going to get 200 test kits. So the likelihood that an urgent care facility had test kits sitting around waiting for someone to come in is pretty small.
All right. So now you've got a history in manufacturing, and so do I. Now, let's say somebody comes up to you and says, hi, I want you to start manufacturing test kits. And let's just say it's an industry where some of the basic knowledge that you need and experience is there. And you go up to the guy and you say, hi, I need a million test kits. And the guy says, well, you know, we got a machine over there that'll produce 100 a day. We used to have that capacity, but we shifted, it all shifted to China. We're just about struggling to get by. So I can give you 100 a day, but to get you an order of a million, it's probably going to take me 2 or 3 years to get you that many.
Yeah.
And so they say, well, can you hurry up and get this done? And he says, well, let me go off to my tool and die guy because I'm going to need to get a bigger, higher capacity mold. I sold that steel for scrap. I'm going to have to get the mold made. Well, how long can he take? Can he get that to you tomorrow? He says, no, it takes probably 30 days to get a mold, if
and
not
then
more.
After this surge, will you even need that piece of equipment?
Yeah, and by the way, who's paying me all this money I'm going to need for this mold? You know, it's $120,000 for a mold. So you're going to give me that? So then, you know, I mean, that's how difficult it is to get something fired up. It just doesn't happen instantly.
There are all sorts of discussions now about the fact that we haven't been prepared for this sort of thing. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, but it's just not something you just turn on a switch and say, okay, you should have these test kits. And the practical realities are there it is. So, all right, we're back with more. This is Russ Betts with Joe McKee on the Russ Betts Show here on iHub Radio.
Read about it tomorrow. See you tonight. Hear it all day today. If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now on iHub Radio.
And there it is.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, we touched briefly on how difficult it is for somebody that's, you know, a country that has no manufacturing. It's all been shifted over to China. And how difficult it is for somebody to, say, start manufacturing test kits. And I guess I'm going to call you my co-host for the 2 hours here on the Russ Betts Show. Joe McKee and I both have experience in manufacturing. Before the break, we're talking about, you know, how hard it is to gear up production when you haven't been producing something. It just doesn't, you just don't flip the switch and start producing something. And so it is with masks, the face masks, where there's a big run and now a shortage. The hospitals are reporting that they're having trouble getting them.
And those are the people that need them the most because they're in contact with people that are sick. And, you know, it's gotten to the point, I was listening to a broadcast from Italy that they're to the point now that if you're a nurse or a doctor or someone working in a hospital, they're still working even though they know they have the disease. They're, you know, there's a 4 to 5 to 14 day period that you're not going to be symptomatic, but you're going to have it and you're going to be able to transmit it. And they're actually getting people to work during that period of time because they really have no choice.
They're overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, that is the question here is everybody says, well, there's more people that die in auto accidents. Well, let's take an extreme situation where you have a pileup on an interstate and you got multiple injuries, serious injuries on a 70-car pileup in the interstate, and you've totally overwhelmed an emergency room. So you go off to 3 or 4 hospitals, 4 maybe, you know, where have they gone? We took them to this hospital. Okay, we'll find them there. And the hospital's overwhelmed. They deal with it, and then it goes away. But this is a situation where the difference here is with this one is the potential for a hospital to be overwhelmed for 40 days, 60 days.
When just the basic number. I mean, if you're in a position that you have an isolation ward, and some hospitals only have small ones that have like 4 beds or something like that, what the hospitals are doing is taking the 4 beds and turning those into the normal people that have normal health problems than using the whole rest of the hospital for COVID-19
people. And you look at China, you know, everybody says, what happened in China? They're building 1,000 room hospital, and they ended up built that, and the next thing you know, they're building 2 of them.
And they're putting people in almost dormitory situations in big structures, too. So they at one stage, I read that they had 10,000 beds. Basically.
Okay, but, you know,
they ramped up to that quickly.
All right, but at the point in time when they had 1,000 or 2,000, they had 7,500 cases.
Yep.
And here comes the big difference between this and an auto accident. People showing up with their father or mother or grandparent or somebody that is got a bad case of COVID-19, can barely breathe, and being asked to get admitted, and the hospital is saying, sorry, there's no more room here.
Yep.
And then you've got all, and then you don't have enough doctors. In fact, that's going, what did you say, Spain or Italy? Italy, you were saying, right?
Yep.
Italy, where they're saying, hi, if you've tested positive, but you don't have any symptoms yet, and, well, all these people are already sick, and we need you here, so don't go home.
Yep.
And so that's the big difference in this one. I think that's the worry. And then you go look at what happened in pandemics of in the past. Was it 1918, the Spanish flu?
The Spanish flu in 1918, yeah.
25 people out of 1,000 died from that, I think
it,
the number
it was
is.
A large number of people. I don't know specifically how many, but it was a flu. It's similar to this. And if it does what that did, we can expect it coming back in the fall. So what medical professionals are trying to do now and what people should understand is they're trying to flatten the curve out. If you look at the curve, the statistics I think you'll talk about here soon, that are logarithmic, they're going way up really quickly. That's the problem with the medical establishment. If they can flatten it out and let it go over time, because they still think that most of us will get this. It's the nature of the flu. Especially when I get a flu shot every year. I haven't been sick in 7-8 years when it comes down to it. But we don't have any therapeutic stuff for this. We don't really have any vaccines. So,
and if it hits and overruns the hospitals, that's when you get the problem. So that's why everybody stop interacting. That's
exactly
why you have casinos closing, movie theaters closing. I mean, Spain and Italy and France have now ordered non-essential businesses closed.
Yes.
You know what? You can wait a little longer for your haircut. You don't need to go down to wherever.
The restaurants are closed.
Restaurants are closed. The only thing that can stay open.
Grocery stores, pharmacies, things like that.
And then you look at the measures that, well, Taco Bell announced that all their service is going to be drive-through, no dining inside. I mean, what kind of extreme measures are coming along?
Well, there are even restaurants that are mostly walk-in restaurants that are now providing walk-up, meaning you can do takeout rather than eating in the restaurant itself.
And some of this is going to be a matter of economic survival. Now, Domino's, they're into the delivery, but they actually came out with, it's got it in here somewhere, they came out with a guide that says, listen, here's what you can do when you order a pizza. And they show the graphic. It's here.
So you don't get close to one another.
It says, we're here to deliver however you want it. And so you go on there and you order your pizza, and then the guy comes and he rings the doorbell and he says, your delivery expert will place your order on a safe and clean surface in the location specified in your delivery instructions. So in other words, you want the pizza, but you don't want to interact with the guy who's bringing you the pizza.
Yep.
So we're going to bring the pizza and set it down here. And the delivery expert, that's what they're calling the pizza delivery guy, the delivery expert will move back to a safe distance and wait until you arrive.
Let me say something else, though, about all of this. The thing that is good about this is that we have a virus that, although it is worse than the flu, it's not as bad as it could be. And this is sort of a wake-up call for us. Okay, how are we going to handle it if something really bad happens?
Well,
when it comes down to it, if you have something that is like the Black Plague, yeah, you know, as far as how many people it's going to kill.
Well, part of it is we're not prepared as a nation because we've shifted all of our manufacturing over to China. And we look on that subject quickly. I'm looking at an article in the China Daily, and I think they kind of gleefully post the story. U.S. lifts tariffs on key medical imports. You know, they've been in this big battle with President Trump and with all his bravado, hey, well, China, we're just going to, cut you off. And I can just imagine the conversation, Mr. President, we happen to have all these medical supplies you need, like masks and antibiotics and whatever else, and there's this little matter of these tariffs that you've imposed on us. Have you had any consideration the deal, the art of the deal? Well, this is the art of the Chinese saying, hey, I got something you need, you got these tariffs on here.
It's also a supply chain wake-up. There was a thing I saw on the news about saline bags. I don't know whether you saw that or not, but 85% of the saline bags in the country come from Puerto Rico, from a couple of manufacturers down there. And they've said that, that you know, that's been affected at times by hurricanes going through Puerto Rico. So you know, I think you could go into this manufacturing question for 100 different things. What about our national defense? What about general security, you know, of our supply lines? There are all sorts of things that you could discuss as far as this, but we've had a tendency to offshore everything that we can. Even manufacturers that are in our country are dependent on parts coming from Japan, Korea, China, Vietnam, places like that.
And the people listening that want to make all that political or that have a certain bent one way or the other saying, oh, these big bad corporations moved all their production over to China because of cheap labor. And, you know, that's a real misconception. We're going to get off on another little tangent here, but you don't move production to China to save on labor because there's a little thing called automation that will offset labor if your labor costs are high, and you can do that right here at home. A lot of companies moved overseas because, well, they're encouraged to do so by policies that were created by the government.
By Walmart, too.
Walmart moving over there. But, you know, for shoes and garments that are labor-intensive, yes, you move to a place where the labor rates are low. But for some of this stuff, even for quality control reasons, you produce it with automation. You don't have labor doing soldering anymore.
Well, it's a weird situation because the largest purchaser of robots right now actually is China. And not by a little bit, by a lot. They're buying more robots than the whole rest of the world combined.
Well, because they got manufacturing going on. But we chased a lot of businesses out of this country. It's not just one thing you can point to with greedy corporations as some simple answer as to why they went overseas. Who moves everything half a world away?
You're still doing economic analysis on it. You're still saying what's going to be cheaper. And you have things, if you do offshore it, that are bigger. You have bigger costs as far as transport and things like that.
Yeah,
so you're still doing a return on investment discussion.
But one item on your G&A budget probably covers your entire cost of operations over in China when it comes to G&A. I mean, you don't have the huge costs that are over there.
The focus on labor is incorrect anyway. Our labor costs in food processing were about 10% of the costs. There were three or four items that were a lot bigger than that. Energy was bigger. Packaging supplies was a bigger cost than labor. And it's the same thing in even things that you don't understand. Like, my guess would be that the auto industry, the cost of labor is somewhere around 6% of the cost.
Yeah, well, you take crown, cork, and seal.
Let me finish this. The easiest thing to calculate, though, is labor cost. I had 10 people working on this. I now have 9. Efficiencies as far as, okay, I brought in this amount of product and I have this amount of waste, are much more difficult to calculate. And if you're being run by accounting people or people that are numbers-oriented, it's much easier to deal with people than it is those other streams of cost.
Well, let me give you an example on how this labor factors in. A good friend of mine, Stuart Layburn, was going over to China to set up a factory for Crown Cork and Seal. And Crown Cork and Seal was started out, their name comes from the bottle caps.
Sure.
It's a crown that goes on the bottle cap. Well, they got into canning, and they were over there to start supplying a booming China market to see if they can get in there and start making canning cans to supply for the
sure.
Chinese domestic market. So they have something that's called a palletizer. And that's where all the stuff comes off, and this machine will automatically stack the pallets because that's a pretty labor-intensive thing.
Yeah.
And he says, the home office called me and said, well, why haven't you put in a request for a palletizer? And he says, well, back in the UK, I need one because labor rates are so high, but here, I don't need that piece of equipment. I'm just going to put 20 people on it, and they're going to stack the pallets.
Well, so, I can tell you a palletizer story if you want.
Well, I'll tell you one, too. We made our own. It was a lot cheaper than buying one. So anyhow, all right, wow, this is just, you know, it's so overwhelming. You talked about military preparedness. And the military is now having to take measures to restrict travel of its personnel because the movement of the troops around the country is a problem. We got a lot more to go. We may shift gears a little bit, get into a little bit of local news, and then get back to this one. Most of the show is going to be coronavirus, but right now, most of the show is going to be some important messages from our sponsors that keep this place running.
Live from the Palm Springs iHub, he calls it as he sees it. The Russ Betts Show. Call 760-544-TALK. Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, well, they normally open at 7 a.m., but they changed the hours on the local Stater Brothers Market, and they're opening at 8 a.m. So, of course, there's a bunch of people showed up at 7 a.m. to go do some shopping, maybe wanted to get there before the crowd. Well, now there's a crowd lined up. I'm looking at the picture here. This is the Stater Brothers in Desert Hot Springs, but it's the same all over the place. There's a Vaughn's up in South Bay Torrance area. Somebody sent me a picture of that. People lined up to get into the store. And you heard from the store clerks that are going, wow, we're working 12-hour shifts. All vacations are canceled. Everybody's on call. You know, we are just, they are really working hard to keep this store stocked. And you were telling me they've changed something regarding the trucking hours. You know, if you're in the trucking industry, yes, you can only drive so many hours and you need to take a break.
Yes.
And I guess there's truckers probably saying, okay, darn, you know, I really need to get there. It's so bad that if you're an hour away from your final stop after you've been
closer
on the road
than
for
that,
a week,
if you're 10 minutes away.
Yeah, you have to stop and wait sometimes 36 hours at a rest stop that's 10 miles from your house. And so... So what was this that you heard about this now?
Well, the hours requirements were put in place in 1938, obviously because people were just driving and ramming into things because they were falling asleep. This is the first time since 1938 that those hours have been let go, meaning a driver, if they're transporting anything that has to do with this problem, food, medicine, anything that has to do with that doesn't have to worry about service hours at all. Now, consider that. What has happened between 1938 and now, and never before has this happened? That's pretty freaky when it comes down to it.
Well, there's a lot of
stuff. As well as a little dangerous, too.
There's a lot of stuff that's freaky going on right now, but that one for sure. Well, I think what it effectively means is there's no driving hours. Maybe they're going to put something in place where the manifest or the driver's trucking orders will give them that pass.
But if you have a truck, it's going to have something on there that is related to this.
So effectively, every driver who's complaining about this clock that they have to pay attention to is going to be able to just keep driving.
They don't have it anymore, basically. They can just drive.
Wow.
And that's pretty freaky. I would say watch yourself on the interstate. If you see a truck that's doing a little bit of shaky driving down the lane, I would get out of the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a good friend of mine who drives long haul. We talk to trucker Gabriel every now and then, and, you know, I have a lot of conversations with him. Sometimes for the last 2 hours of his shift, I'm on the phone with him, just keeping him entertained and awake. And but he says, you know, they got a rule. He drives doubles and he drives teams, so that means they never stop.
Exactly.
But he gets on there with a driver partner and he says, you know what, my life is in your hands, and even though they're supposed to absolutely positively be there overnight or really quickly because that's the company they work for, with a really tight schedule, I mean sometimes they get a load that has just enough time to get there, he tells his co-driver, if you're tired, pull over and take a nap. Yeah. And that he has the same rule for himself. He says, you know what? Nothing in this back of here is worth my life or the life of the people going down the road. And they got enough of a challenge that they face every day.
It is. It is. And you get into a situation, especially with what's happening now. I think they've changed the hours so that you drive 11 hours as your shift with breaks interspersed there. You have to have breaks and lunch and things like that. You're still driving continuously. And it wears you down. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I've been driving in out in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico and places like that and seen obviously truckers that were asleep that were weaving all over the place. Because you get into situations where you have micro sleep problems, where you actually fall asleep for very short periods of time, even though you're driving.
I used to run with a CB radio in my car, just, you know, like we all did back in the 80s, and just to listen mostly. But there was I remember one scene and going through Indiana, and this truck is going down the road, and it's obvious he's asleep, mm-hmm. and every trucker's on the CB radio calling out, Arnell, wake up, hey, driver, wake up, you're sleeping. And they knew this guy was sleeping.
Yeah.
And this went on. This went on for a long time.
It can.
And so this guy is driving asleep for 2, 3, 4 miles?
I've seen more than that. Because what they'll have a tendency to do is weave it, hit the bot stops, and pull back.
Wake up enough to keep it on the road.
Yeah, they'll be swerving enough. And if you're on a road that's dead straight for 100 miles.
You know, Joe, you know a lot about a lot of stuff, and you pick up the finer details, and you just said something that most of our listeners probably didn't catch, but the dots on the side of the road, what are they called?
I'm supposed to say it again, yeah. Bots dots.
Bots dots. How many people know that they're called bots dots, and you probably know why they're called bots dots?
I'm sure that there are other mechanisms that are down now besides bots dots.
Do you know why they're called?
Because the person that made it was
Mr. Bot. Isn't that amazing? I did a radio show in college, and that was one of the subjects that came up. I was examining the cost of bots dots, and they were talking about cutting down the number of them to save money. And
yeah.
Back then, they were $3 each.
See, it's interesting because we went to Upper Michigan to look at some things in November of this year, and I'd never been to Upper Michigan in the winter, basically. And when we were driving back to the airport, crazy people that we are, it started snowing real badly. And, you know, up there, they don't have a lot of snow removal equipment or anything, and we had a four-wheel drive vehicle, and they're going down the road. And it's fine if you have some traffic because the lanes stay obvious. But then after a while, there's snow everywhere and you really can't tell anything. But what they did up there is they have, I don't know whether they're bots dots. I think they're another
mechanism.
No, they
don't have bots dots because they get plowed off the road back there.
So they had a signaling mechanism on both sides, on the right and left side, with different frequencies. If you went over toward the middle lane, it had a different frequency than it did if you were on the right side. So it could it actually told you which way you should steer to stay on the road.
It's the little lines they put in there that make this terrible vibrating sound in the car.
Right, but they did it at different frequencies, so you could tell. Okay, I'm hitting the middle now. I want to go over this way.
You know what else those are good for? When you're driving down the interstate and you can't see past the inside of your windshield because the snow is hitting so hard, and you want to go 50 miles an hour because if you go any slower, that somebody's going to ram into the back of you. So what you do is you put your wheels over those, and that keeps you going straight down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides looking out the side of your windshield to gauge your distance to the guardrail, you can also use that vibration to let you know, all right, I'm on path.
It's yeah.
You know, people in California don't drive in snow. They have trouble when it's raining. You don't realize when you can't see past the inside of your windshield, it's a challenge to drive.
Well, and it's a difficult situation because you don't want to even pull off because you can get hit by someone that's driving close to where you've pulled off.
And then you're going to have a 70-car pileup overwhelming a hospital temporarily and somebody making analogies to the coronavirus. We're going to get back to more of that here on the Russ Betts Show. We've kind of veered off on a few things. Maybe we're...
You think?
Well, we're, you know, it's so overwhelming, everything going on with this subject. So I got a briefing at CVAG Public Safety Committee by Chad Bianco. We're going to let you know what he's been thinking and what's going on in his mind when we get back here on the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio.